Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Welcome yet again to another segment on the Make It Practical. We're looking at belief versus obedience in this series, and we want to understand the evidence of a transformed life. What does that look like? What is that all about? So come through as we converse Nomfundisi, Pastor Muwunga. Now, if you've been a Christian for some time, you've most likely heard of this phrase, by their fruits you will know them, right? It's a phrase coming through from Christ's teachings, in particular Matthew chapter 7. But what does it actually look like? I'm talking about the fruit now, the fruit, right? In 2026, when you say fruit, what are you talking about? Does true saving faith inevitably result in transformed life? Or can a person truly believe all the right doctrines and remain completely the same? We want to decipher this and we want to make sense of it all. So join us as we do that on this particular morning. We're going to focus on the unmistakable evidence of the Holy Spirit's work. And we're going to be looking at all things as we discuss together. And on the line, like we said, our pastor joins us now. Mfundisi Muwunga, good morning to you and welcome again, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Derek, and our listeners. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Good morning. Good morning to you. Mfundisi, we are continuing with this segment here, belief versus obedience. We've laid the base in our previous sessions, but why does true biblical belief naturally and inevitably lead to visible transformation in a believer? I mean, surely, aren't some things in what? I mean, God did say that he looks to the heart.
Thank you, Brother Derek, and our listeners. I would begin by saying biblical faith is more than intellectual agreement. It is a life-changing trust in Christ. When a person receives Christ, The Holy Spirit begins transforming the heart, and the outward behavior reflects that inward change. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we can say true faith produces new desires, new priorities, new attitudes, and new actions. Just as a health tree naturally bears fruit, a genuine relationship with Christ naturally produces spiritual fruit. Like we hear in the Bible, you will know them by their fruit.
Yeah.
What we bear is what is inside there.
What you bear is what's inside. Whew, yeah. So this idea that the outward is something that's not really used to measure. I mean, what we referred to earlier on, Samuel referring to Eliab and what God showed him about him to say, "Hey, don't worry about the outside. The heart is what's important." When does that then apply in fullness if we're supposed to measure by the outside?
No, for sure some people would claim that, no, just look at my heart, don't look at outside. No, what is outside is coming from inside. The clothes that you are wearing, they came from inside. You thought about them. So we see what is inside by what we see outside. And the scripture teaches us that faith without works is dead. So you can't say, I believe, but you do something that is contrary to that faith. So why believers are not saved by works? Authentic faith will always produce evidence. And a complete absence of spiritual fruit may suggest that a person has never truly surrendered to Christ, or that they are resisting the Holy Spirit's work. Because Jesus said, like we said, you will know them by their fruits.
That's
the only way we can know you, by your fruits, what you are producing. We know this is a mango tree because it is producing mangoes. So the issue is not perfection, but direction. Genuine faith. Genuine believers grow, genuine believers repent, and genuine believers increasingly reflect Christ's character.
But you see, a human being is a human being is a human being. We don't say this is a human being because they have children, right? I'm wanting to see how do we bear this analogy to, I'm talking about the extent now. Sometimes a mango fruit can be a mango fruit even though it's off season and there's no single mango on the tree. Sometimes a mango fruit is a mango fruit, even if it's got a challenge with producing mango fruit, even in season. We might have a challenge, maybe want to cut it down like Christ suggested with the fig tree. But what do we do when maybe it's a problem I have? I don't bear fruit.
Yeah, like that example that you gave, mm-hmm. The owner said, no, please give it one more year. You dig around it, because if you want to change the fruit, you have to go to the roots, not the leaves or the stem. You go down there. So even us, if we are not producing fruit, then we are resisting the Holy Spirit. If you have got stunted growth, then you are resisting, because growth, even without spirituality, without faith, is a natural expectation. We were boys, but now we are men. We become old. So growth is a natural expectation. So if we are not growing, if we are not reflecting the character of Christ, we are reflecting the character of his enemy, because we can't be neutral. Like a car is not going forward, it's not going backward, but the engine is running. You are neutral. So a human being cannot be neutral. Either Christ is living in us and we are reflecting his character, like he said, let your light shine so that others who glorify God. They will say, no, that's not Derek speaking. It is his Father who is in heaven. And that is the desire and the goal of a Christian, to reflect the character of Christ.
Yeah. There is no room for barrenness in the Christian journey. Is there a real danger? Maybe talk to us about what that could be, Mfundisi, of relying on past spiritual experiences or professions of faith by others as evidence of current spiritual vitality. So, when I was young, I did this and God used me in such a manner.
Yes, for sure. Many people can point to a baptism, church membership, or emotional spiritual experience in the past. While these experiences are valuable, they are no substitute for present relationship with Christ. They are important, but they are not a substitute for present relationship with Christ. Jesus taught that believers must abide in him continually. That's the theme we find in John 15. Abide in me and I in you. Meaning we need to remain connected. So spiritual life is not sustained by yesterday's experience, but by today's surrender. Today's surrender. The danger is complacence. Assuming we are spiritually healthy simply because of what happened years ago. That is the danger that we find there. Assuming we are spiritually healthy simply because of what happened yesterday, years ago. But what is required is today's surrender. Like Paul says, I die daily. Every day, our dear listeners and my brother Terry, there's a habit in your life that needs to be crucified. There's a habit in my life that needs to be put away.
Every day. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Pastor, as we talk about these conversations here, I'm just drawn, especially the point we are discussing right now, this idea of holding on to past experiences, to say sometimes isn't spiritual experience or spiritual highs one hit wonders? I'm looking at how even the scripture is structured. You've got major prophets who are called major because their work spans a serious season and their work is of a bigger nature, as opposed to some prophets who are the minor prophets who've got a shorter span of work. Sometimes just one prophetic approach that they are dealing with and they are done. Others don't even get mentioned, given books. They just are heard once in the scriptures and that's done. Surely their prophets, even though they were quote-unquote one-hit wonders, could it be that maybe our spiritual journey, yes, there is the consistency or there might need to be, but maybe this spiritual highs is just one thing that happened in my youth or in my adulthood, but it doesn't happen on a regular basis. Can't that be the nature of my relationship with God?
No. You remember Christ mentioned the parable of the sower. Some seed were sown on stone, and then they quickly germinated. That sand soil quickly germinated but died. Meaning it should not have been like that. That spiritual high should have been sustained by a continuous reliance on Christ. Because that is his desire, that you are always connected to him. All of us for sure can talk about that high experience, but that high experience is supposed to continue. And that's what God desires in our lives. I take the example of Elisha. When you read the narrative of Elisha, it was one miracle after the other miracle. He goes to this place, there's this. He goes to this place, there's this. And that is the design of God for each one of us. When we rely upon him, he wants to use us everywhere. You are in a bus, you are in an Uber, you are at a station, everywhere. God wants to use us. As long as we remain connected to him, our lives will be just like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. Our lives will be just like that. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. In what ways do I'm talking about our previous habits now, what we used to do perhaps before we met Christ and our addictions, how do they serve as a canvas for transforming God's power after we believe? Can they still be useful?
God often displays his grace most powerfully through transformed lives.
Mm-hmm.
From addictions, destructive habits, anger, talk about selfishness and sinful lifestyles become testimonies of Christ's redeeming power. Yes, I was an addict of drugs. I was selfish. I was short-tempered. But Jesus came into my life and I'm no longer. It becomes a testimony. See, Paul himself moved from a persecutor to be an apostle. We find that in Acts chapter 9. And you find that in all the narratives. Wherever Paul was called, he said, when I was going to Damascus, he always mentioned that experience when he met Christ. Mm-hmm. Life changed. He was going out there to kill people, but he met Christ. And so his past life became a testimony. So what once brought shame became evidence of God's victory. So what are we saying? Every transformed life proclaims that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace.
Yeah, yeah. No one is beyond. You know, I think sometimes it's the approach and the conversation atmosphere that we bring around talking about our life of yesteryear. You know, you beautifully put the example of Paul, where he would always start with how he met the Lord himself and how he was so mistaken. And I think sometime in his letters, he even says, I had the zeal, but no knowledge. You know, I lacked the wisdom, and that was dangerous for me. And then he speaks on how he's found something better and so forth and so forth. But sometimes when we then hear people testify or talk about their yesterdays, you can hear the language. Oh, in my young days, me. Oh, you don't know. I was on fire, me. I was on fire. And you're like, hey, are you missing the days, my sister, my brother? What's happening here? Because it's not like you're trying to say God saved you. It's almost like you're saying, hey, he hasn't. Because he's in here. Ah, but now I'm a Christian now. Now things have changed. And then the tempo goes down and the excitement simmers down. And you're like, hey, is that the same thing that you're talking about, Pastor?
No. Yeah, because when you say, no, I was a powerful singer, I was a wife, then the question I quickly ask you is, what happened? Because this time you should have been more than that.
Yes, then I'm so telling again, that, then Jesus saved me now. Now I'm a Christian now.
No. And again, we do not take about our bad experiences to glorify those things. No. Me, I used to beat people, I used to do this and that, as if that life is still good. No. Mm. We are talking about the redeeming power of Christ, that he reached me, and no human being is beyond the reach of God's grace.
Amen. Amen. He reached me, and I wish the same for everybody around me. How then does one pursue holiness, right, Mfundisi? And how does that pursuit differ from mere rule keeping or behavioral modification as we try to distinguish between belief and obedience?
Yeah, thank you. Rule keeping focuses on external behavior. Holiness focuses on heart transformation. And that is very critical for us. Rule keeping focuses on external behavior. Holiness focuses on heart transformation. The Pharisees appeared righteous outwardly, but lacked inward conversion. Holiness is the work of the Holy Spirit producing Christ-like character from within. It is not merely avoiding sin, but becoming like Jesus. So true holiness grows out of love, not legalism. Relationship, not ritual. Transformation, not mere conformity. That is what is critical.
Yeah. Lord help us, Mfundisi, to really approach it from this perspective you're sharing with us this morning. Pastor, thank you so much for another day where you've opened up our eyes and helped us see that it's not just about what happens in the mind, but actually what happens in the heart, in the life. Any final thoughts for today's session?
We have said a transformed life. Every transformed life proclaims that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. All of us are candidates for that grace. Mm-hmm. And that grace is available now. It can be accessed through Jesus Christ now through a whisper in prayer. Those would be my last thoughts.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. May God bless you and do each other again tomorrow. Stay blessed.
It's my great pleasure, my brother and our listeners. I receive those blessings.
Thank you, sir.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.